As I mentioned, the main text for our sermon is the Old Testament reading from Zechariah chapter 9. I reread to start verses 11 and 12. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you know that our son-in-law and our daughter, Scott and Becky, and their six children were with us at the beginning of last week, but also this week, Thursday. Anyhow, it was fun to have them around, their six children, and we did a few things with them. But one of the things that we did was, Scott and I did, was talk about this week's sermon. He's a Lutheran LCMS pastor as well in Mondovi, Wisconsin, at Zion Lutheran Church in Mondovi. And so we talked about the assigned text and what we're going to preach on this week. And Debbie heard this conversation a little. I said, there's a lot in that Zechariah passage. There's about three sermons there. I'll just preach one. It's a little bit difficult to get at this Old Testament reading, because it has the context, especially verses 1 through 13. This is just verses 9 through 12. But if you look at the context of this reading, you'll see that it is about God defeating, and somewhat to extent his punishment, around surrounding nations of Israel. And it's a prophecy about what's going to happen. And it's so interesting when you see that whole, these prophecies against Tyre and Ashkelon and Syria, and even Greece is mentioned in verse 13, that the promise of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, verse 9, which I read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." We normally read that Palm Sunday, sometimes Advent too. And that is directly about Jesus. And Matthew quotes it in Matthew chapter 21 as Jesus fulfilling this prophecy. But the context of the prophecy is about the defeat of the surrounding nations. And specifically, God's people have seen that this prophecy was about Alexander the Great's conquering, taking over that whole area. And I wrote in the notes there a little, oh my goodness, it's very brief, and I hope mostly accurate. It's so brief. I'll read the little paragraph. "Alexander did not conquer and destroy Jerusalem like the surrounding nations, but visited Jerusalem and let the people remain in peace." And there's all kinds of history and teachings about that, or history about that. "However, in Alexander's reign and the rulers following him, there are various efforts to change the religious beliefs and practices to follow Greek and later Roman gods instead of the Lord God. In 168 to 167 BC, the ruler Antiochus IV Epiphanes attacked Jerusalem and forced the end of Old Testament worship, killing many thousands of Jews and desecrating the temple with pagan sacrifices. The Jews later revolted, the Maccabean revolt, and ruled themselves until about 135 BC. The land was then ruled by the Hasmonean dynasty until Herod the Great, who with the support of the Romans became the ruler in 37 BC, and that's the King Herod of the Christmas narratives. Zechariah gave a prophecy about when Alexander would take over that whole area. And yet, he did not destroy Jerusalem like he destroyed Tyre and Sidon and some of the other surrounding countries. What was the goodness or the power that preserved Jerusalem against Alexander the Great? It was not that the people were good, because oftentimes the people did not obey God. In fact, that's what the prophets complained about so often. It was God's promise and oath to them. I didn't write it down, but it's in Exodus 14. No, 24. Exodus 24. The blood of the covenant thrown against the people and then also against the mountain. And that was when they received the Ten Commandments and all the other parts of the covenant, and they swore they would keep it, but they didn't keep it. But God swore he would keep his covenant with them. That is the strength of the covenant through all the times, from Moses all the way going to Zechariah to the time of Jesus. God preserved his people and preserved Jerusalem through all these rulers and reigns, and from Egypt and Babylon and Assyria and Alexander the Great, and preserved those people, preserved Jerusalem, preserved the worship at Jerusalem, come and go as it did, until that king would ride into Jerusalem, the final and great eternal king, Jesus, to which verse 9 refers. God preserved Jerusalem with all its ups and downs that it might greet its King Jesus. And I looked up some of that history again, and I knew that, and you can read it in the broader text. But this really caught me to share with you and to think about together this Sunday. In verse 11, "As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." He did not say, because you're good, because you kept my Ten Commandments, because you're a powerful nation. He didn't say anything like that. He said, "As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." That is our hope. In all our troubles, the hymn that we just sang, "Jesus, thy blood in righteousness." That's our hope. That's the precious grace that we have, is what Jesus has done for us and us trusting in him. That's the gospel message, the light that is the hope of the world. The terrors that the Israelites faced up to the time of Jesus was quite great at times. This Antiochus IV Epiphanes, he wanted to end Old Testament worship. He wanted to end the sacrifices at the temple. In fact, he thought he was God. He was a bit crazy. And instead of the assigned sacrifices at the temple, he forced them, he killed many thousands, and he forced them to sacrifice a pig at the temple. And you know, that was, in the Old Testament, unclean. You were not supposed to eat it, touch it, nothing. But at the temple was sacrificed a pig. That's what Antiochus IV. And the Jews, that's why there was a Maccabean revolt. There was great suffering and forcing of God's people, temptations to go away, to neglect the true sacrifices that were wait to the final great sacrifice of the Lamb of God. There was times when Jerusalem was almost completely destroyed, but God preserved them. preserve them till Jerusalem would meet Jesus. In our lives today, and in the history of the church leading up to us, there are great temptations and there are great struggles against evil. And there are wars. Jesus says rumors of wars. That's all over, isn't it? All over the news. Diseases, pestilence, all these things pressure God's people, either in general or particularly in our own lives. What is our hope? What sets us free? As for you also, because the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. As this is true for the Old Testament, people looking towards God's final sacrifice, so it is true for us living after that sacrifice has been made, Jesus Christ. We look to him and how he gives us strength and power and life to endure through the things that we face and will face. That is it. We try our best to live as we should, but it won't get us through all these things. Jesus will get us through all these things. It is the power and promise of God. Dear friends in Christ, when we face troubles, either personally in our lives, illnesses, setbacks, or our community, maybe some have great immediate trials like an earthquake or tornado, or we face sometimes not good weather, or as a nation, all kinds of disturbances and scandals, etc., etc. We as Christians then, whether in our own lives or in the lives of our community or nation or world, we have to remember, it is vital for us to remember what is the strength and the power to get through this. And we confess over and over again that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood for our sins to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus Christ's blood is stronger than my illness that I'm going through. Jesus Christ's blood is stronger than the evil that attacks us in our lives or our communities. Jesus Christ's blood and resurrection is stronger than any evil this world faces. If we don't believe that, we don't have God's covenant and oath with us. And those things will overcome us. But when we know that and believe that, that carries us through. Even though we may fall asleep, die in Christ, his blood and righteousness carries us through our death and into heaven, and one day he will raise us again. It really is as simple as the blood of Christ is stronger than all these evil things and has overcome all these evil things, even the evil within myself, as Paul notes in Romans 7. Or it is not. That is a Christian. Either Christ's death has been victorious and he's risen from the dead, or it doesn't mean anything. Those are the two things. And the Lord, through Zechariah, was pointing his people at Zechariah's time. Look, all these nations around you are going to be overthrown. Even Jerusalem is going to be threatened as many times it was. But as for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Because of God's promise and covenant, and now his shed blood in Jesus Christ, his Son. So when we take Holy Communion, and when we hear Jesus' words, this is the blood of my covenant shed for the forgiveness of your sins, that is his life and promise and oath put into our lives and even given us to eat and drink. This is his promise, his oath, And no matter what we face, His oath, His promise overcomes all these things. These great historical figures in the world's estimate, powerful men, Alexander the Great, and others. And yet, the blood oath of Jesus Christ, His own shed blood, overcomes all these things for His people. That is the message and faith that we share. That is what we need to remember over and over and over again. And in Revelation, we've studied many times, the people sing about the victory of Christ with His shed blood. That's long enough for one sermon. It's very simple. It's complex in our lives, I know. In our life too. My life too. But the message of the gospel is so simple and powerful. It is Christ has made His oath to forgive us and give us life everlasting. And it is by His power that this is true and lasts. And will take us through everything. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ. How can we thank You enough? How can we understand it enough? Except Your words teach us and put faith in us that we trust in You and what You have done for us in Your Son. This is good news. This is joy. This is a hope that goes through all sufferings and even through death, to know that we have life with You, that we are at peace with You. Make this always certain in our lives and in our minds and hearts, and help us to share it with family, friends, and community. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to You in the holy name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.